This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, Mike. We are back.
Sir. How are you?
I am great. How about you?
You've been stuck inside all day, huh?
I have been, absolutely.
It's a nice day outside.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's cool. 61 degrees in your parking lot.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was. I had to roll up my window. I was getting cold. I was driving around.
Turn the heater on.
Yeah, well, I did a little bit.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Yep.
It is. Well, thank you for listening today. And this show is about gardening info and anything that has to do with your yard and those kinds of things. And if you would like to have a question answered, all you got to do is call me at 673-4464. State your question, and I will give you an answer, and we'll talk about it. And today's subject is organic gardening. How's that?
Sounds good.
Organic gardening. And I'm not a real dyed-in-the-wool organic kind of gardener, but I do use certain organic principles in planting and doing things, and in some things I use chemicals. So I do the best of both worlds.
There you go. That makes sense, actually.
Well, yeah, it does, because some things work and some things don't, at least for me.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure there's some real true organic folks out there that really got this thing nailed down, and I might not tell them anything new or brilliant, but this is for the folks that wonder about it possibly and say, well, does it really work? Yeah, it does work.
And some people say it's all organic. It comes out of the ground.
Yeah, I know. I mean, even the chemicals that we use come from the earth.
So, yeah, hello. That's true.
Anyway, we hear a lot about organic gardening these days, and there's the other side, the chemical gardening. That's how I read it in this research I was doing. Is the organic gardening versus chemical gardening. Well, okay, that's kind of harsh, but all right. Well, chemical gardening is simply using chemicals to grow crops, shrubs, trees, sprays to kill bugs, and fertilizers in bags to feed your garden and your landscape. And some folks are totally organic, and some use the manufactured fertilizers and things like that. You know, I applaud both sides of the aisle there. It's okay. But both methods are going to work to produce health and good food, good plant growth, and good healthy plants at the same time. Organic gardening, I find, is...
You want to hold that thought?
We have a call already?
We do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, hey, caller, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
I don't have a question about organic gardening, but I do have a question about rhododendrons.
Yes.
This Stormageddon weakened my rhododendrons, so when they flower out, they sag to the ground. And so I was wondering when would be a good time. I need to cut them back, I know. And how far can I cut? And when was the best time to do it?
Well, what size are they? What height, or, you know, how
They're
big?
They're probably about 6 feet.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've cut 10-footers down to about 3 feet, and it takes them a while to recuperate, but they push new growth, and they look great. And when I cut these 10-footers, it was July, not this July, but, you know, a few years back, because a client had these big rhodies growing out her picture windows, and they were kind of blocking the view, and she thought they were ugly. And I didn't have the heart to throw them away, so we dug them up, and I thought, well, I'll see if I can rejuvenate them. And I cut them down to about 3 feet. The stems were like 2 inches in diameter, and they were like trees, for crying out loud. And the following spring, they leafed out, and they were gorgeous. and I kept them in pots in the back of the nursery. And the next spring, they were just chock full of flowers. They were gorgeous. And I sold every one of those things rather than throw them away. So
when you cut them back, do you have to be concerned that there's a leaf left on or not?
Well, if you have some leaves that are lower than your cut, that's fine. But when I cut these big ones back, they didn't have one leaf on them. They were just sticks. And I thought, well, okay. Live or die, and they lived. They're very, very tough. People think that they're something tender, but they're not. They're a very tough plant. Now, if you've got lower leaves that look okay, cut them. You know, you can cut them, say, 50%, and don't hesitate. Just a good, clean cut, and you're going to have to wait a while, probably till next spring, till you see any real activity. But for the most part, they'll all come out of it.
So it's okay to do it now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All righty.
Yeah, and since I did that experiment with those great big roadies, I have no hesitation in cutting roadies, because when we get calls to a client's yard or some of our maintenance accounts that the roadies are, you know, pretty good size and they're starting to encroach on the sidewalk or they're encroaching on the parking area or something like that, we cut them back. Only time we don't like to cut them back is if they've already formed their buds for spring bloom. Sometimes you don't have a choice, but usually my recommendation is if they're too big and they've already got the buds, wait until spring, let them bloom out, enjoy the flowers. As soon as the flowers die, whack them. Yeah, and take care of it then. If you cut them back when there's buds on them, then you don't have any flowers the following year, but that's okay. Yep. They'll come back the year after, you know.
Kind of defeats the purpose of the first year.
And they're like a weed, for goodness sakes. I mean, they are very, very tough. Ooh. And
like a blackberry.
Well, not quite that vigorous, but they are very tough, and you can't hurt them. I mean, if you do a good, clean cut, they're good to go.
Cool.
Okay, so back to the organic gardening things here. As I was saying, both of the methods, the organic and the manufactured fertilizing route, will produce good plant growth. Organic gardening, I find, is more labor intensive, because it involves working natural materials into your base soils. In the long run, it does improve soil structure and produces chemical-free fruits and vegetables. And a lot of folks nowadays, that's what they want. They want something that hasn't been fertilized with triple 16 or sprayed with you know, some kind of a bug spray and that kind of thing. And I can understand that. I'm not worried about it, but I can understand what they're thinking. But there's much discussion on all the pros and cons about organic versus chemical gardening. And over the years, I've done both methods at the same time, just in my own experiments. I want to see, hey, is there a taste difference, a growth difference? Is there, you know, will they be better or worse, or, you know,
about the same or
whatever? Yeah, about the same. Well, my vegetable garden at home is made up of topsoil and organic matter. The soil is well-drained, sandy soil with organic material that I've tilled into the top 6 to 10 inches. And you know, just for good drainage and ease of root maturity, et cetera. And like I say, I do this for several reasons. And the first is that the mix improves the drainage. I mean, that's one of the worst things that happens. And to an amateur gardener is they look in the backyard and say, "Yeah, I'm gonna start a garden," and they till up the clay soil and get it all tilled up, and they plant seeds or they buy little plants and stick them in and water them and water them and water them. Well, in that clay soil, just pure clay soil, those plants don't have a chance because they're being overwatered, and there's no drainage, and the little and their roots are very tiny, and consequently, the overwatering excludes the oxygen because they need oxygen, and it also rots the roots, and if there's no roots, they can't grow. That's if you've got no heart, you don't live. You know, that's how it is. But the organic stuff enhances your vigorous root growth, and a result that I've seen, the plants grow faster and better. That's all I can tell you on that. But when my vegetable plants are well-rooted, then I use a chemical fertilizer very lightly to keep them growing vigorously, and this method seems to produce a very strong garden. So, I do that on purpose just to see if there's a difference or not a difference, and will they be better? Will they be stronger? Will they produce more? I've got more tomatoes than a human can eat. And I didn't have that many tomato plants, but we eat them every night.
Nice.
Yeah. But the organic material is composed of leaves, grass clippings, old bark, wood chips, and this is what I till into mine. And it's, you know, several years old and very dark in color. I mean, it looks good. It looks like, wow, that's really nice stuff. And I turn this pile, I got this huge pile, and I turn this pile every year because the best stuff is on the bottom where it's moldy and cooking, if you will, and no sunlight's hitting it, no weeds are growing in it. So you take a tractor or a cat and turn the pile upside down, and you put the good stuff on top and the stuff that was behind on being broken down goes on the bottom, and so the following year the whole pile's good.
It's ready to roll.
I use that, and I get good results from both methods. It's good. And see, the cool thing is when our maintenance accounts in the winter time, all the leaves are dropping, and part of our maintenance is cleaning up the leaves in the yard and blah, blah, blah. And we throw them in the trailers, and we have trailer fulls of weeds. And I've got a place out in the back of the nursery in the back field. And that's where we dump the leaves, the twigs. Big branches go on a burn pile, but the leaves and the twigs and that kind of stuff goes there. And in a year, and we pile it up pretty high, you know, and we've got a really old pile that the whole pile is deep, dark black organic material that's been decomposing now for 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
Then we got another pile that's like 2 years behind, and then we got another pile that's this year's pile.
Rotating.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So we use the older pile, like what I was saying in the past, somebody comes in and buys a few trees, but maybe they don't want to plant them, so they say, well, we'd like you to plant these trees. Not a problem. And I describe what we're going to do, and I ask them what their soil's like, and it's, oh, it's hard clay. Okay, well, we have some organic material. What we're going to do is take out that clay and put the good stuff in, and then plant the tree in the good stuff, and it grows and does really well. So
cool.
Exactly. And when we, like I say, we plant shrubs and trees in our landscape projects, we mix organic material in each planting hole at least 50-50 with the native soil. And that seems to be a real good starter for a brand new plant that's been in a pot. You take it out of the pot and the roots are growing the same shape as the pot. And so consequently, you kind of scar it up a little bit so it's not growing in a circle, in a tight circle.
Kind of separated.
Exactly. And then you plant it in this mix that you've developed, and they take right off. There's no problem in them getting established quickly. Whereas if it was just pure clay or some hard pan stuff, and some folks don't know, so they dig a hole and they chunk up the big chunks and then put this brand new plant in that's been growing in this beautiful potting soil.
That's
in this
my
pot.
Dad's method.
And you put it in the hole and shove the clay back in there and expect it to grow, for goodness sakes.
And you stand there and cuss at it.
Yeah. And what's wrong with this plant? That nursery guy, he ripped me off, sold me a dead plant. Not really.
We got to take a break.
We got a break. We'll be back.
All righty. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back, and the lines are open for your calls.
Yes, for 673-4464. Any questions, fair game. Don't worry about it. I'll answer it.
Bingo.
You might not like my answer, but what the heck?
It's an answer.
I'm not Lars Larson either.
I promise I won't hang up on you.
Really. As far as I'm concerned, there's no naysayers. As I was saying in the last segment, when we're planting trees and shrubs, in our landscape projects, we always mix organic material that I've been talking about in each planting hole at least 50-50. In other words, if the native soil is not hard pan rock and it actually can break up, well, you add this organic mix that we have developed over the years, and you mix it, and it's 50% of each type. You mix it so that you can't see where one ends and one begins, you know. So that's like the perfect spot for these plants that you put in. And as a result, over the years, we have like a 98% survival rate on everything we plant.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's if you do that, and then when people come into the nursery and they have, I always say, if I'm waiting on, do you have any questions on how to plant this or how to water it or how to fertilize it? You know, I want them to have success. I don't want them to take it home and, you know, over fertilize or over water or whatever. And so I can tell them this is what we do. This is how we do it. I'll draw them a little picture and show them, you know, this is the size of the hole. This is the size of the plant. And you give it a lot of room and it grows well. That's how it works. And like I say, this combo of organic material and native soil, it helps to prevent overwater because you got some drainage in there now. Yep. And the soil mix is loose enough for the new roots to take hold very quickly, and plants grow this way. They're going to be stronger, and they're going to be able to resist attacks by pests and diseases. I mean, it's a win-win situation for the plant. Another trick I use in my garden is to plant a lot in my vegetable garden now, is to plant a lot of flowers in between the veggies.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it looks good. Hey, yeah, you got flowers growing, you got corn growing, you got, you know, tomatoes growing, all that kind of stuff. Well, the flowers attract birds and beneficial insects that will eat the bad bugs, for crying out loud.
Killing two birds with one stone,
that's
or one
good.
Stone with
that's
two,
good.
Whatever.
Well, I wish I would have thought of that. But I don't have to spray to kill the bugs, because I don't have any bad
Yay.
Bugs. The bugs I have are good. They're eating the other bugs. They're eating the bad bugs. That's good. And like I say, my garden is colorful. So I got the best of both worlds there.
Yeah.
And this year I built a raised bed garden. Actually, a friend of mine who was doing some work for me had some lumber, and he built it for me. But it's about 20 feet long and about 3 feet tall, and this enhances the drainage. There's no kneeling on the ground to pull weeds. The weeds are right there. All you got to do is bend over a little bit and pull them. And my food is very easy to harvest. And the only problem is I have, like I said earlier, way too many tomatoes. And we seem like we have tomatoes every single night. No matter what else is on the menu, we have tomatoes.
And here I don't have any.
Yeah, well, I can have a tomato stand out there. And I think I only planted, I don't know, 5 tomato plants.
Really?
That's all.
Wow.
And they're huge. And they're every day you can go out there and pick a whole bowl full easily.
My gosh.
And it's like, whoa, this whatever I did here is doing really well, but I'm going to have less of it next year. I'm going to have some more variety.
And they're good, nutritious for you, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And my wife is a vegetable nut.
Does she make ketchup or anything out of it?
No. She's not that. We have no time for ketchup.
Okay. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello. I love your show. I've got a juniper bush that collapsed under the weight of the wet snow we had a few years back in the front yard, and it got planted over the water main. And I had a friend buzz it down to the ground with a chainsaw a couple inches off the ground, and it I just assumed get rid of the whole thing. It doesn't seem to be growing back at all. I was wondering if there's something you could put on it to make it rot out clear through the roots without.
Well, there are some things. One's a stump removal kind of solution, and you kind of put a hole or two in the trunk of the plant, and then pour the chemical in there, and it rots out the whole thing. But it's not an instantaneous kind of deal. It takes about a year for the whole thing to.
That would be fun. I wanted to know too. I like to grow something on top of it. I thought about putting a little planter box, maybe a 4x4 planter box around where it is, and put some good dirt and stuff inside of it, and grow some herbs. I've got some. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what they're called. It smells really good. It looks like a little pine tree. It's green all year round.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. I had a friend who had a hedge of that, and I thought that would be a great thing to put on top. Does that stump removal stuff ruin the ground?
No, all it affects is the root, the stem that you put it on, and it goes down, and then it just dissipates. It just basically disintegrates the root system in the stump.
Sounds like what I need. If I just go to the garden center, they'll let me know.
You cut what you want to do is whatever stem is left showing up on the ground before you treat it. You want to cut it flush with the ground.
Okay, there's about a dozen of them. It's a mess.
Okay, well, cut the stem flush with the ground, and then if you got a chainsaw, just kind of put a groove right into the stump that you leave, and then when you pour, it's called Tordon. And when you pour the Tordon in there, it has a place. It doesn't run off the stump. It runs down into the stump.
Okay, I could do that.
Yeah,
I'm happy with a drill.
Yeah, you can do that too.
And, all right, thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Bye bye.
Thank you. All righty.
So
it just kind of rots out the stump.
Then. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. It takes a while. It's not a quick fix.
Yeah.
And like I think he said he had a water main or something under there.
I think so.
Yeah. You start digging around with trying to get those roots out, and you hit the water main.
Not
and baby,
good.
ain't good at all.
Like that oil spill down in California.
Oh, good. Yeah. What's it? They got a groove in their pipeline 100 feet long or something like that? A tear?
They think it may have been caused by a boat anchor.
Boat anchor. Oh,
ship's anchor or something.
I wonder how deep that thing is into the ocean.
You would think it'd be deep enough to wear an anchor, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would think. Oh, gosh. About the only ground in Douglas County that isn't like hard, poor draining clay is along our river bottom areas, the South Umpqua, North Umpqua, or some creek. And over the years, it has, as things have flooded, it deposits silt and that kind of thing. And the rest of our county is clay and shale and rock, and it has to be modified, like I said, with some sort of an organic soil to break up the clay. You've got to break up that clay if you're going to be planting shrubs, trees, tomatoes, green peppers, whatever. You've got to break it up because that's when you're going to have the success. The one positive about clay soil is that it retains more nutrients because it doesn't drain well. So you don't want to sometimes just take all the clay out and throw it away because it's chock full of nutrition. Mm-hmm. But if you can break it up and, like I say, and mix it with an organic mix of some sort, you're going to get the best of both worlds. It's gonna feed your plant or your tree or whatever you're doing, and it's still draining well at the same time.
Cool.
Now even if you break up the clay into like small teeny particles to plant a shrub or a tree, mm-hmm. it's still going to compact over time. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't add anything to it, you're just using the clay you find in the ground, that you're just using that clay, that's it, nothing else. And I've done these things. I know I've seen the net results of my work early on in my career, and thinking, well, I'll just break this all up real good and just chop it up till it's nice and fine, and then go ahead and plant. But But what happens over time, whatever you plant in there, and then the clay settles, and then you get a winter's worth of rain, it even settles more and then compacts.
Right.
So you've got nothing. You got nothing but clay in there, and it just resets up hard again.
It starts all over.
It starts all over again, exactly. And then, of course, the roots of any new plants is going to have a difficult time penetrating into the soil, and because the clay particles are the smallest soil particles, and they just can't. Penetrate something that's that compacted, and consequently, you know, folks that aren't experienced with that, they'll look at it and say, what's wrong with my plant? Oh, obviously it needs, you know, the first thought is obviously it needs more water. So
sure?
they shoot the water to it, and I've been guilty of that long ago too.
Yeah, sure.
And I think, what's wrong with this plant? It needs more water. Well, and then the leaves continue to curl up, turn brown, fall off, and the plant falls over and it's rotted, and you dig it up and you go, well, there's no roots. Ha-ha.
They have rotted. And,
but it's wet down under there where there were no roots because the wetness, there was no drainage. There was no, and root systems need oxygen. There has to be a certain amount of oxygen that flows into the ground. And, you know, it's all part of that process of life.
Like us, they got to breathe.
Exactly. They have to breathe. What a concept. Yeah. But, I mean, think about this too. When you're digging, and when clay is wet, it really sticks to a shovel, and it doesn't break up. And when it's dry, it's hard as a rock. It's even worse. But when you mix in like bark mulch or potting soil or sand or all three, it becomes plantable. It becomes usable.
Nice.
And then you get the best soil mixture. So. When planting in clay, the more amendments you add and mix thoroughly, the better the success you're going to have. And it's just how it is. And if you've never planted anything, if you've never had a yard or never planted a tree, these are kinds of things you need to be aware of, or it's going to be a catastrophe. You're going to say, gee whiz, I paid, you know, $75 for this nice tree.
Frustrating.
And it didn't last, you know, 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And I watered it every day.
Oh, yeah, very.
And well, consequently.
We'll be back with more happy thoughts.
Yeah, more happy thoughts. Organics.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Ah, good afternoon. We are at 4:39. We're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and the line is open for your call.
And the number to that line is 673-4464. Any questions, fair game. And I will give you the best answer that I possibly can, because I've made all the mistakes that there could possibly make in my last 48 years of doing this, okay? So
he's the man to talk to.
I'm the man to talk to. I'll tell you what, I've made my share. But I was talking in the speaking about the ground in Douglas County in the last segment, you know, and the clay and how hard it is and all that. And the best stuff is along the river basins and in the agricultural fields. You know, Cruz owns them and Brosai and other farms and that kind of thing. And as I said, the positive thing about clay soil is that it retains nutrients because it doesn't drain well. So, you know, it's how it is. But when clay is really wet, you go ahead and try digging in it in the middle of December and see what happens. You can't hardly get your shovel out of the ground because the clay grabs it and holds it in place, and you finally get it out and it won't come off the shovel.
What is it, like quicksand?
And you can't expect a plant to grow in that. Not one that's been grown in a nursery under ideal conditions.
No.
You know, dig the holes. Oh, okay. That's how it is. So anyway, you know, when we get a landscape, landscape project going, most often there's a lot of this clay material, and we have to amend the soil and do all that. And then sometimes we just dig a very, very large hole and we'll remove all the clay and just get it, don't even bother in mixing it because it's so stinking bad. And we just fill the planting hole with our own super mix. And our super mix has, as I described earlier, is leaves and old or dehydrated, no, degenerated, whatever the
could
word
be
is.
Both.
Decomposed, how's that? I knew I'd get the word right.
Decomposed.
But, yeah, and it's very rich and very, very dark and very loose. And we add a little bit of good topsoil to that mix, and we plant right in that. There's no clay in the hole at all. And so consequently, it does very, very well. And I make sure that the client knows, hey, don't water it every day. Don't, you know, maybe once a week, maybe once every 10 days, depending on the weather. And it'll do well because the root system in 2 years is going to fill that thing, and it's going to be exploding, and it's going to be strong enough to get into the surrounding ground, and then it'll be able to grow into that native clay soil. And it might slow down a bit, but it won't just stop. It has the strength, it has the momentum, mm-hmm. and that's built up over the last 2 years in the good soil, so it's good to go. Now this native topsoil that I was talking about earlier, it drains quickly, and you can, in my field behind the nursery, I have 19 feet, my topsoil is 19 feet deep because it's in a floodplain. But we still add some organic material when we're planting trees. We'll grow Japanese maples or fir pine or whatever for future use. And we still take that organic material and mix it in each planting hole. And the things don't even know that they've been transplanted. They just, bing, they're going.
They're going. Yeah.
Exactly. And even with the good topsoil that we have, it drains fairly quickly anyway. When we get real hard winters where it rains incessantly for, say, a week, we'll have standing water in some places, but you get 2 days with no rain, and that standing water has already receded and gone down.
Yeah.
And it's down, you know, energizing the water table. So it's good in that respect, too. Native topsoil, the problem with native topsoil, since it doesn't drain, it drains so quickly that it doesn't have a lot of natural nutrients in it because a lot of that drains out. It has some, but it drains out. So that's the type of thing that we do fertilize our field trees, oh, at least twice a year to feed them with a commercial fertilizer and give them a shot.
Jolt.
A jolt, yes, that's very good. They're very jolty. Now, believe it or not, there are some plants that will do well in clay soil, you know?
Really?
Yeah, like roses.
Oh, of course.
I've told you my roses stories.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
My old house in Roseburg that was nothing but a clay mountain.
Dad loved him too.
Yeah, oh yeah. You just dig a hole and jam that rose in, and that puppy would just go to town.
Yep.
And if you didn't water it, it did better.
It's like out in a desert.
I know. But roses, they don't seem to mind it. They're just vigorous enough and strong enough that they just take hold and go. Another one that grows well in clay is Oregon grape.
Yeah,
Oregon grape is our state flower, and it seems like you can plant that in concrete and the booger will grow. I mean, that's how tough they are. And roses are, too. And then there's honeysuckle, marigolds, daylilies, wisteria, ivy. So those are all so tough that a little bit of clay or even a lot of clay doesn't seem to hurt them. But I still amend the soil when I'm planting those in somebody's yard. I don't want to have a call in 2 weeks and say, those plants you planted died. You didn't put nothing in there. Oh, no, we don't do that. So the bottom line is we try to make our client's soil as nice as possible, as quality soil so that whatever we plant is going to do well, and they're not going to call and say, ah, the stuff is no good. What's wrong with you, winners? But they don't. They love us. Oh, gosh. But that's the bottom line. You want to make your soil as good as possible so that whatever you plant is going to have going to be healthy, it's going to grow well, it's going to prosper, and if it's a vegetable, it's going to give you lots of vegetables. If it's a shade tree, it's going to grow more quickly and provide you with shade. Or if it's rhodies or roses or marigolds, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do to the soil is the most important step in the planting process. Now, for a vegetable garden, adding organic material is not a one-time event. You don't just do it one year and say, that's good, it's good to go. No, every year you're adding a little bit more, especially in the fall after the growing season is over and the plants are dead or you've pulled out they're not producing and they're looking bad. Yeah, you yank them all out. We'll put another 4 to 6 inches of some kind of organic material on top. Let it sit for the winter. Don't try to work it in. Just let it set on top for the winter. Let the rains hit it. Let it just kind of settle in,
yeah.
And then when spring rolls around, you go ahead and you till it up. It tills easily. It mixes easily. It spreads easily. You grade it. It's not a big production. You can do it with hand tools, for crying out loud. And then you plant your garden. Bingo. It's already mixed.
Sounds too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy if you do it right. The hard part is the initial, the first time that you got to do it. Yeah.
First time is always the hardest.
Yeah. Now, I have, I said I had a raised bed, 3 feet tall, 5 feet wide, and 20 feet long. And I've also, we've got holes dug along our fence because we get deer. So we've got holes dug along our fence, did it with a little baby backhoe when we did. But it's amazing how many rocks and how tough that was. Now, it's not totally clay. It's kind of a forest soil, but there's still a lot of rock material in there. Mm-hmm. And I've let the hole stay open all winter. I mean, all winter, all summer, and into this winter. And when it rained, it got down in there, and I wanted to see how well it was draining, and it all drained really well. So we've got, my wife wants blueberries and some other exotic things she wants to eat. And so probably within the next month or so, I'll be planting them. But again, I will bring my super mix and fill those holes with that super mix and plant those blueberries and those kinds of things in that. And they won't even know they've been moved, for crying out loud. They're gonna just take off from there. Oh gosh. It's really simple. It's a lot of work initially,
right?
But your payback is abundant food. that's why you're doing it. A lot cheaper, yeah, long term. And the way things are going, I think the more gardens we all have, we don't have to depend on, the trucking industry is shut down because they fired all the drivers and won't take a shot or something like that.
Diesel's too expensive.
Diesel's too expensive, so the shelves are bare. Well, it doesn't matter because I grew a garden and I got a lot of stuff stored and frozen and all that, so I'll eat.
Then you got to watch out for thieves.
Yeah. Well,
that's should another, we take a break?
That's another show. Yeah, let's take a break.
Oops. There we go.
Killed us, huh?
Yeah. It's those thieves. We'll be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, look at this, Mike. We're already in the last segment for this Wednesday.
This Wednesday has gone fast. They all go very quickly. Anyway, I've been talking about organic gardening and soil amendments and chemical gardening, the difference between the two, the difference that I've seen. And, you know, at all our farmers markets, which I don't think we've had too many this year.
I don't believe so. Not yet.
And I'm surprised. But anyway, a lot of those in the farmers market, they're organic oriented gardeners.
Based, yeah.
Yeah. And if you walk through one of those and you look and they'll display their tomatoes or peppers or whatever.
Yeah.
And you walk through and you go, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
They look really like, wow, I could eat that. You know?
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. Whereas you might go to a grocery store and pick up a tomato and the backside of it is kind of flat and mushy or whatever.
That's true. And but, the corn, it bugs in it.
Yeah. And a worm pops out, waves to you and goes back in.
Yeah.
No, not really. But the organic farmers, I have a lot of respect for them simply because I know the amount of work that they put into producing their crop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's why organic fruits or vegetables are a bit more expensive than what you might find sometimes at a local supermarket, too.
Yeah.
And that's because it's very labor intensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was talking in the last segment also about adding your organic material in the fall after you've already harvested your garden, let it set for the winter.
Right.
And then when you till it up, it's going, you know, it's all ready to go. And after a few years of doing that, the soil will in your garden will be so loose that you could stick your hand down 6 inches and you wouldn't have any resistance. Whereby you can't do that with a heavy-duty clay soil.
No, not at all.
Your fingers won't even penetrate.
No. You break
a shovel won't even penetrate. But once you work that soil and you've done it a few years, I mean, it's ready to go.
Huh.
It's good. I mean, it's loose.
It's like a chocolate chip cookie.
Well, not quite. And I'm a chocolate chip cookie fanatic. But looseness, that's what generates good root systems.
Oh,
that's what generates the good growth. And natural manure, this is the last segment, so I thought I'd throw this in there at the last because some people might turn off the radio. But natural manure can be used if you have access to it, but you got to be careful. If it's relatively green, like fresh off the farm, you ought to let it sit for a while. Maybe let it sit for a year to age and get rained on. And you can work with it if you like, but it could kind of get messy.
Yes.
And cow manure is good, but if you get like chicken manure or rabbit manure, make sure it's not fresh because it can do more damage than good. It's too hot. And I've learned that because we had several chicken ranches when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and I was the head gardener back. I was 15, 16 years old. And so I would grow my own garden and throw some of that in there, and those plants would grow like wildfire. But if you get it too hot, they would catch on fire. You know,
oh,
I mean, the chicken manure is very, very hot. So you want to do that sparingly, but it works well and it's good organic material. Just like I say, don't make sure it's not fresh.
Okay, so you can use it.
You can use it.
Okay.
But if it's fresh off the farm, put it in a pile and let it set for a while.
Age.
Let it age, yeah. Let it lose some of its steam, if you will.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And with any farm manure, you want to add leaves and grass clippings in the fall, you know, if it's fresh and you want to use it for the following spring, you know, and your leaves fall off, throw that on that pile too. Mix it all up after it, you know, the first of the year and March or April prior to putting it in the garden. And mix it all together, and that manure helps break down the grass clippings, the leaves.
Okay.
It all blends really well, and you just don't want to have sticks and branches and that kind of thing. But and let it all age together, and as you build your pile, you know, it's you turn it over a few times each year,
mm-hmm.
and if it's a small pile, you can do it with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
A big pile, you do it with a tractor. And
or with your hands.
Yeah, no. And so that, like I said earlier, the bottom stuff gets to the top of the pile, and the stuff that was exposed to the sun is now on the bottom, and it rots or decomposes more quickly. Mm-hmm. And then you can add it to your garden when it looks good, when it feels good, when there's not a real heavy stink factor involved.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
And you can actually touch it, and it won't kill you. But
so you don't want a real bad smell.
No, and you don't want to work in it because it ain't fun.
No.
I've had to. When I was growing up, we had several ranches that we used cow manure and chicken manure and a little bit of rabbit once in a while, but not much because we didn't have too many rabbits around. But and when you add it to your garden, you don't want to put a lot in all at once. Kind of blend it in over a period of time. Like I said earlier, if you add it in each year, if you got an old pile, you add in a little bit each year.
And kind of phase it in?
Yeah, it's a like a time release thing, if you will.
Gotcha.
but just don't pile in it all at one time and expect to have good results, because it'll do more damage than good.
Than any good.
Yeah. And that's just kind of the basics on organic gardening versus, you know, chemical gardening. Both ways are good. Both ways will work. And like I said, I have organic soil mixes that I use, but as the plants and the vegetables are growing, I'll add some good high quality granular fertilizer around each plant, just to kind of give it a little shove, give it a little push, and especially when summer comes around. If you got a good spring plant going, and then all of a sudden it turns into 90 degrees. Well, if it's well fertilized and healthy, it'll get through that 90 degree or 100 degree weather without just croaking.
There you go.
So that's it.
All right. We'll see you next week, eh?
I hope so.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240. Stay tuned now for the afternoon report.